This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Most reasonable people accept that a meaningful page of text cannot be produced by pouring a pot of ink onto a blank piece of paper. It doesn't matter how many times the process is repeated. You will always conclude that the page of text had an intelligent author. Now, what is our miraculous universe but a meaningful book written by the ink of atoms? So surely that also has an author, one who deserves glorification, gratitude, praise. And the name of that Lord is Al-Khaliq. The scientific community today considers the concept of randomness to be a perfectly acceptable scientific explanation for the existence of the universe. They vehemently reject a creator, despite the signs of design in the universe being infinitely more manifest than those of randomness. Signs that are only ever compounded with each day and each and every discovery. Allah said, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Do they not look into the dominion of the heavens and the earth? And all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, don't they look? In 1966, physicists had just two criteria for a planet to support life: the right kind of parental star and the planet just the right distance away from that star. That's it. This really inspired scientists to search for alien life, and they'd hoped to pick up radio signals for coded intelligence, but the silence from the universe was disappointing. But since 1966, the necessary parameters for life grew from just 2 to 10 to 50 to 200 specific conditions and counting to support life. As a result, we know that the chances of life as we know it today existing somewhere out there in the universe only continues to decrease. And here are some of those conditions needed to support life. First of all, you need a spiral galaxy, and only 6% of known galaxies are spiral. Then you need planets around it to do their job as well. They must shield the planet that supports life from asteroids, but not block the sun. For example, Jupiter shields the Earth from asteroids, such as the asteroid from July 1994, but it mustn't be so big that it would disturb the planet's orbit. Then you need the orbits to be closer to circular than elliptical, otherwise the planet would get too close or too far from the sun, and our solar system is the only known one with near circular orbits that allow for even and balanced seasons for our survival, subhanAllah. But it doesn't stop there. Then you need an ozone layer to absorb the sun's ultraviolet rays. You need the ocean to continent ratio to be intact. You need a moon of the right size and distance, which plays a pivotal role in the ocean's high and low tides. Then you need the planet's crust to be just the right thickness, because if it was too thick, it absorbed too much oxygen, not allowing it to be recycled. If it was too thin, volcanic activity and tectonic activity would become far too intense to support human life. So all of these factors are necessary for life to survive and thrive. The chance of a planet having just 32 of these 200 conditions is one in a tridecillion, or one followed by 42 zeros. That's why Dr. John Lennox, University Professor of Mathematics at Oxford, he said that the more we get to know about our universe, the more the hypothesis that there is a creator gains credibility as the best explanation of why we are here. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah Al-Khaliq. Then a little bit closer to home, again, you find the clear signatures of Al-Khaliq, the creator. Look at how the inventions of man are in constant need of adaptation and improvement. Nicholas Joseph Cugno was a French inventor who built the world's first full-size working self-propelled mechanical land vehicle. Effectively, the world's first automobile in 1769. Take a look at it. Then on January 29th of 1886, Carl Benz applied for a patent for his vehicle powered by a gas engine, and the newspapers reported the very first public outing of the three-wheeled Benz patent motor car, model number one. Look at the lights. It comprises of candles within a lantern. So simple. And activating the vehicle was not through a key or a button. It was through an external and publicly exposed process. Now, of course, to us today, it's so simple and it's probably laughable as well. Then moving on to 1894, Louis-Antoine Krieger of Paris began designing and building electric automobiles. In 1903, Krieger produced the first hybrid electric vehicle that had a front-wheel drive, power steering, and a petrol engine that supplemented the battery pack. Now, notice this, how each generation adapted what came before it, how it refined the process, they advanced the technology, and the process of development took place gradually over many years. Fast forwarding to our generation, cars have evolved to look something like this. Now, of course, compare these images with the first couple of images I shared with you. The same can be said about the development of computers, of communication, aeroplanes, and so on. The rate of development between one generation and the other is phenomenal, and the difference between one model and another is quite profound. Now, look into the design of the human being. From the time of our father Adam, the very first man to walk the earth, until our time today, thousands of years later, have you ever heard of man model one, man model number two, or 100, or 1,000? Or are they exactly the same design? Those who lived 20 years ago, or 200 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, were identical with respect to the miraculously sophisticated system for vision, the intricate auditory system, the remarkable mechanisms for digestion, for immunity, information processing, expression. The first of men, Adam, and the last of them are the same model of perfect design. صُنْعَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Such is the work of Allah who perfected all things. This is Allah al-Khaliq. And zooming in now a little bit closer to the human specimen, think about how the journey which the sperm makes in order to get to the egg is equivalent to us sprinting for 150 kilometers nonstop. The journey is anything but straightforward. Many obstacles and hurdles lie in the waiting. Yet it overcomes them all without losing direction. Then your heart size is around that of your fist and beats around 60 to 80 times per minute. On a yearly basis, it beats around 40 million times and pumps around 2,200 gallons of blood per day and approximately 56 million gallons of blood per lifetime. And the blood which the heart pumps to the brain returns back to the heart within just 8 seconds. And the blood which it pumps to your toes, the furthest distance from the heart, returns back to the heart within just 18 seconds. La ilaha illallah. Who designed that? And then the blood itself is home to around 5 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter of blood. If red blood cells from one human were to be placed side by side in carpet fashion, spread out, they would cover the earth 6 to 7 times over. Then you have platelets that are the cells that circulate within our blood and bind together when they recognize damaged blood vessels. A normal platelet count ranges from around 150,000 to 450,000 platelets per microliter of blood. The human body is also home to about 600 muscles, and the average sized muscle is made up of 10 million muscle fibers. And the human body has around 2 to 5 million sweat secreting glands to regulate our body temperature. Subhanallah. The brain is home to around 100 billion neurons. Each neuron forms about 1,000 connections to other neurons, amounting to more than a trillion connections. Subhanallah al-Azim. Neurons combine so that each one helps with many memories at a time, exponentially increasing the brain's memory storage capacity to something around 2.5 petabytes or a million gigabytes. So for comparison, if your brain worked like a digital video recorder in a television, 2.5 petabytes would be enough to hold 3 million hours of TV. Imagine, you'd have to leave the TV running for around 300 years continuously to use up all of that storage. Subhanallah al-Azim. And then you have the human retina, which has about 120 million photoreceptor cells. And how it communicates this information back to the brain, and how the brain then processes this information, bringing about feelings of love and hate and hope, and despair, fear, security, and so on. That's a completely separate and highly sophisticated discussion with many unknowns. Allahu Akbar. The tongue has a role to play during the process of chewing and swallowing and tasting food, as well as for speech and for sounds. It's got 17 muscles to allow it to move in any direction. And the surface of the tongue has 9,000 taste receptors to differentiate between sweet and salty and sour and bitter. Allahu Akbar. And our kidney weighs around 150 grams and is made up of a million filtering units called nephrons. And each and every hour, it filters around 1,800 liters of blood, and about 1.5 liters of urine are extracted from it. Just think about the difficulty experienced by those who are going through a dialysis treatment because of kidney failure. They have to spend around 12 hours a week connected to 150 kilogram worth of machinery, let alone the side effects, just to carry out what your 150 gram kidney is able to do within seconds each day. Allahu Akbar. Then your outer layer of skin, the epidermis, replaces itself completely every 35 days, all over, brand new. You're given a new liver every 6 weeks. Your stomach lining replaces itself every 4 days. The stomach cells that are involved in digesting food are replaced every 5 minutes. Our entire skeletal structure is regenerated every 3 months. Your entire brain replaces itself every 2 months. In fact, the entire human body, right down to the last atom, is replaced every 5 to 7 years. So how is it then that if our brains replaces themselves every 2 months, we can still keep long-term memories? You see, the nerve cells in the human body are the only exception to the regeneration rule. Because if they did regenerate, say once every 6 months, you would need to relearn your language every 6 months. Subhanallah. So it's true that the briefest moments of reflection on creation are sufficient to leave you lost for words. And such bewilderment will only intensify as time progresses and discoveries are made. What can we say other than Fatabarakallahu Ahsanul Khaliqeen, blessed be Allah, the best of all creators. Now, marveling at Allah's creation and leaving it at that would be a huge misunderstanding and a huge injustice to Allah's name, Al-Khaliq. There is something really important that follows from all of this. Logic says that since He is the only one who created and perfected and gifted all of this, He is also the one, the only one who deserves unconditional obedience. Why? Because He created. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ Allah said, unquestionably, His is the creation and the command. So they come hand in hand, the creation and therefore the command. So you say to yourself, I am breathing His air, I'm walking on His land, I'm living under His roof, I'm eating from His provisions, I'm using the vehicle, the human body, which He created and loaned to me. Therefore, everyone and everything else must take second place when His instructions come head to head with that of others, family, friends, or customs, or employers, even my own urges. After all, I am his. Logic also says that every device comes with a manufacturer's instruction manual, which describes how it's to be used and how to be protected from harm, and how to spot signs of malfunction. And I, as a human being, I'm the most sophisticated of all of these creatures. And so I am even more in need of a manual to live by and to refer to my well-being. This manual is called the Quran, and its instructions include the following. Do not cut family ties. Resist desires that are prohibited, because their short-term pleasure will bring about long-term pain to your life. Distance yourself from the prohibited financial transactions. Your five daily prayers are essential for your worldly and post-worldly well-being. Your hijab must be never compromised. Friends will make you or break you, so choose them wisely, and so on. So should any of these instructions from this divine manual, from the Lord who made me, should these instructions clash with that of an employer or a spouse or a trend or an urge, then the manual of the Maker that He so kindly sent my way has to come first. Has to come first. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the creation if it means that the Creator will be disobeyed. His is the creation and the command. And on that note, it's common knowledge that the very first step in dealing with a damaged good is to contact the manufacturer. But sometimes doing that is not practical. Sometimes it's not even possible. When there's no address, they're on the other side of the globe for whatever reason. As for your Maker, Al-Khaliq, He's never inaccessible or unavailable. So pinpoint that aspect of your life that hurts, that aspect that you feel is damaged or injured. Perhaps it's your unending bachelorhood, your deteriorating health, your gripping anxiety, frail iman. Then after you've done that, raise your hands to Allah and realize that you have just accessed your very Creator.